it's that time of the month again, time for community meetings, and we have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey with us. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, Rolly. I'm good.
Good.
It seems to be warming up a little early.
Yes. Oh, and you know, that's, I guess, good news and bad news. I'm really worried for how hot it's going to be this summer.
Yeah, I'm worried about the water situation because we don't have a snowpack and it's already getting warm.
Oh, you know, you're so right about that, and it doesn't look like we will. Oh, summer's going to be very interesting, isn't it?
It is. Between fires and no water, we'll see what it brings for us.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, you know, Rolly, there's lots of things going on. There's this weekend we're having a high school rodeo at the fairgrounds, and that includes high school participants from all over. And you know, we had from the paddocks and from the horse stalls during the horse races, we had like 108 stalls. And all of those have been filled for the rodeo. So I think that's a fantastic thing. That's why we put in a second arena, is to get high school rodeo to come to this part of Arizona, and they have. And believe me, they came in numbers, and that's a great thing for our community. It's a great thing for our fairgrounds. And so I'm really tickled about that. That's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's terrific. And, of course, this is in large part due to you really staying on it. For years we've been talking about making upgrades to the fairgrounds so we could do things statewide, and this is a great example of what we can do.
It is, you know, and we were able to put on good entertainment when we partnered with the with the Mines earlier on, you know, for the entertainment that they brought out. And so, we're reaching and grabbing for everything we can. And the fairgrounds is getting to be a place well known where people can come, and maybe someday we'll even have high school rodeo finals there.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But anyway, another thing I'm real tickled about is the Senate bill, 1067, the Blight bill.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Gila County bill, carried by Wendy Rogers. We made it through all three reads in the Senate, and so far it looks good in the House. And so that's the bill that, the properties that don't have owners.
Right.
Like where people have passed away and there's no one responsible for the property, or investors that, pay little taxes and they never foreclose on it, but they're not the actual owner because they don't foreclose.
Mm-hmm.
What this bill will do is if we have to go in and clean that up, and it cost us like $1,500 to clean it up, then that goes to the next year's tax bill for whomever's paying it.
Good.
So if their tax bill is $500 a year, and we got to keep their place clean, then next year their taxes might be $2,000.
Good.
I'm just tickled to death that the state is finally seeing that it was one of their problems. You know, not that the county is problems, or should the people who are already paying taxes, be liable to try to clean up property that no one cares about.
Right. It's a loophole we've been talking about also for years, and you've been working arduously to get things changed, because as it is right now, the properties lay fallow, there's no responsibility, and blight grows.
Yeah, and there's nothing that I can do as a supervisor. There's nothing, within my power to change the law. So that's great that Wendy Rogers saw that and carried the bill, and it seems to have a lot of a lot of support, which is surprising. I think it does have a deadline of 3 years, but then it can re-go. And I think that's one way that it got to pass through the Senate is, okay, let's try this. Let's make it a law for 3 years. And then if we don't get a lot of negativity and it's not creating a lot of problems, then we can pass it again. But
and
I think that, and I'm fine with that. Let's test the water and see how it goes. But that'll give us 3 years of being able to clean up some of these properties.
No, I agree. And the pushback is going to come from the offenders, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, the old thing is you ought to be liable for your own stuff.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's the old American way. It's not
yes.
somebody else's problem. By golly, it's yours. And so I'm glad that we're seeing that way.
And I have a feeling that a lot of the rural areas in Arizona are squarely behind this as well, because it's not only Globe Miami.
And even, you know, even the big counties are supporting the bill too, because I think they have issues with that too. They have so much going on that they don't worry about it because it doesn't create a lot of problems for them. But it does in rural. And so anyway, that's some good news going on.
Yeah.
Attended a luncheon with Governor Hobbs up in Payson. I thought that was, you know, I mean, I'm glad she went to Payson. I'm glad she's reaching out to rural. But to me, it was kind of staged.
Of course it was.
But, you know, we'll see where all of that goes. But I do believe she is trying to help us with some flood mitigation money, because the other bill carried by Walt Blackmun, it was a House Bill 2070.
Yes.
$25 million for Gila County, and went down and testified, and it passed out of his committee 7-0. But then it went to David Livingston, who is chairman of Appropriations Committee, and he would not allow the bill, refused to hear the bill.
He wouldn't allow it
at his committee. So that caused the bill to fail, at least this session. But what we're working with is I think the governor's interested in helping us. And so Walt Blackmun and our lobbyists are working. You know, we're going to working up a deal perhaps to get $20 million allocated, but it'll be like over the next 5 years.
Okay.
Which is better than nothing. And so, like, on if we have grants and we have to match, you know, if we have match money for those grants, like 25% or 10%, depending on where it comes from, then, you know, we're actively reaching out for a bond to cover those, and then we can pay those off at any time.
Good.
So as we get flood mitigation money, then it can go towards the money that we're having to borrow to do flood mitigation and rebuild our kitty, because we spent a lot of money on crews and manpower and things of that nature, and testing all the debris and those kind of things. And, you know, we don't have funding for that.
Right.
And so we have to, you know, if we're going to pass an audit, then, you know, we need to regroup, because we can't take that out of her funds, because it was flood stuff, not building roads. But anyway, so, you know, Those are things that we're working on. I held a Southern Gila County preseason fire meeting on March 5th. It was extremely well attended. We had 30, 35 people. We had, you know, people there from the mines. We had all of the forest guys, sheriff's office, you know, ADOT. We had, you know, just a room full of people, and everybody was communicating kind of on, you know, what we're expecting this year, and, you know, some of the things that are going on and some of our worst places to have a fire, you know, kind of what we're looking at. And so it was really a good meeting, and everybody was able to communicate, you know, so if we have to do evacuations, everybody's on the same page. We know kind of what's going on and who's reaching who, and if somebody needs to talk to somebody. By having that many people in the room with sign-in sheets, now everybody that's attended knows how to get a hold of anybody.
Good.
So that makes, you know, emergency services with Coral, that makes everything so much easier. If, you know, if things start going, everybody is communicated, everybody kind of, you know, is kind of ready for ready, set, go.
Good.
But you're never ready for it, but you got to get ready for it, you know.
Absolutely.
You never want to happen. And then I held a Roosevelt community meeting on the 9th at 1. And, you know, I have those meetings, and there's no agenda. People just come, and, you know, we talk about whatever we need to, and I try to inform them. And we had a gentleman from the Tunnel National Monument with things going on. We had the the new librarian there. And so, you know, it went pretty well. Somebody from the road crew, we had our captain, chief from Tano, Stoltenberg, Chief Stoltenberg. And anyway, so that was a good meeting.
Good.
Attended a Miami Town Council meeting on the 9th as well, later that night at 6 o'clock. And that, you know, seems to be going well. They're putting together an advisory committee, which I think, you know, can help, because it's a lot of people went to school here and went off in their professional lives, and, you know, now they're wanting to give back, and so they're putting together an advisory committee for some of these professional people to, you know, kind of have an opinion and kind of see what they can work with the mayor and council. And, you know, I offer to help any way I can on making better suggestions to try to, you know, help Miami and the community. So I think that'll be a good thing as it goes forward. I held a team meeting with the deputy county manager and department directors on the 11th. That's where I can go over projects with the health department, facilities, the road crews and things on District 2, things we're working on, things we want to work on. Attended a Gila Community College Committee celebration on the 11th. And, you know, they're really, you know, you plant the seed and see where it goes. And now that they're accredited, you know, and can kind of do their own thing, you know, like everything, it's rough starting, but they're working at it. They're doing well. And it's going to be a great thing, you know, in my opinion, that they can work on their own curriculum and the money stays here. You know, not $1 million a year is going to another county, another college. So I think over time it'll be a great thing.
I agree. And there were many people, the way it came down was a little rough, many people saying, well, it's never even going to happen. Well, it did happen, and local is better, not only financially, but all the way around. So sure, there'll be some rough patches, but they'll get there.
Yeah, years ago, I was on the Boys and Girls Club committee for Gila County, or Globe mainly, and we were part of National Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, we would do fundraisers. And our community, I mean, we have our fights, but don't fight us from the outside.
Right.
Or we'll all get together. And then we'll go back our own ways and we'll get in our own little, you know, dizzy matches. But we'll team up and fight against you if we have to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the neat thing of it was is we decided to go on our own because, you know, our community would support us and we get a lot of money. And then it would go, you know, to the National Foundation.
Exactly.
And so we broke off on our own. And, you know, I haven't kept up with a lot of that. But I do know that it went off well. And, you know, the community really supported it, mm-hmm. with building, with funding, with things of that nature. And I still help them if they come to me in need. I help them. But, you know, what they're doing overall, I haven't kept up with that, but I do know if they need anything, they call me, so they must be doing okay.
Well, right. That's what I was going to say. If there were problems, you'd know it.
Yeah, they know that I support them, and I'll help them in any way I can. And then tomorrow I'll attend to review a proposed FEMA floodplain map.
Mm.
And what that is, you know, years ago, they passed a floodplain map, and they said, "Okay, this is where the floodway is. This is, you know, where it isn't, and things of that nature." Well, now that we've come up with Google Earth, we know that map is wrong, and so does everybody else.
Right.
And so FEMA, you know, we've been working with FEMA now for several years to redo that map, and you can imagine the can of worms that's opening for insurance companies and all the other stuff.
Oh yeah.
But still, they have to do it. You know, I mean. You can only, you know, play Chicken Little, put your head in the sand for so long, and then, you know, you're going to have to pay attention when there's so much proof that it needs to happen. So anyway, they have come up with a map, and I try to get as involved with our different departments as I can, so I know more what's going on. And so anyway, they've asked me to be on a review committee with that map to, you know, go over what FEMA has done with our new floodplain map. So that'll be interesting for me, because we've had a lot of complaints, you know, people wanting to build, and, you know, the map says they're in the creek. Well, they're not, you know.
Yeah.
And you can see where the creek is, and they're obviously not in the creek. But anyway, so that'll be interesting going forward to see kind of where that goes.
It will be fascinating to see what that map shows. And you're right. For people who wind up on the wrong side of it and the insurance companies, that's going to be an interesting fight. But the reality is, it's what it is, and it's provable. So I don't think that that's something that would fail.
Yeah, and you know, and you've probably heard, as I have, a lot of people are having difficulty getting insurance, you know, because we're in a fire district or we're in a flood district or things of that nature. And so, you know, we get new and different maps. Maybe they won't be, you know, broad. It's like, well, you guys are part of maps that are all screwed up, and we don't know what's right or what's wrong. So we're just going to charge everybody a lot of money. So,
you know,
maybe if that gets better, maybe insurance companies will work better with the individuals, because now you can prove that you're not in a flood zone.
That's a good point, because if that's what they're doing at this point is just taking the broad brushstrokes and saying everybody pays, that's tough. So I would welcome this. I can't wait to find out next month. You can tell us what the map showed.
I will find out more information tomorrow than I have today. And you know, I gotta say too, on the House Bill 2070. David Livingston, he's District 28 for Maricopa County, the one that was chairman of the Appropriations Committee. So, you know, I don't know what his thinking was, but I share his name, and that he is, you know, he's with Maricopa County every chance I get, because those guys seem to want all of everything, and they're not their own state, you know. But anyway, we're moving forward, and you know what, we have a lot of people that have, you know, purchased properties, and then they go to add on or do something, and they all of a sudden they found out that they bought a home that had been, you know, there'd been a shed built or a room addition with never a building permit.
Oh dear.
Which has created a lot of problems for us. As you know, and so what we're doing is we're trying to work on that, and we did get with the county attorney to see, you know, kind of where we go with this, and you know, there really is no grandfather clause for things like that. And so, you know, it says somewhere in some ruling that if it's built well, then, you know, it can be fine. But what our attorney says is, you know, any building that was built without inspections is considered unsafe, because nobody knows what it was built, what the footers were like. And so some of these buildings, we are working with several people on trying to get them, you know, out of being a building without a permit and get them cleared. And sometimes it takes an engineer, but we're working with them, and I'm working with the county manager on perhaps trying to help either create a position for a structural engineer, or perhaps subcontract a structural engineer, because we're getting an awful lot of these to be able to help these people whom, you know, didn't find out or wasn't exposed to them until they wanted to make an improvement on their property and found out that somebody else did without a permit. And so, you know, you buy it, you're responsible for it. So
This is
we're trying to help those people.
Absolutely huge, Tim, because right now for a buyer, you talk about caveat emptor, a buyer can't beware because the information is basically not available to them. If they see a house and they want to buy it, maybe they go to permitting and they, oh yeah, it was permitted, but they don't know that something else was put there or whatever. So there's no mechanism for the buyer to know whether this is going to be a problem, and that's huge.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, and it's become a big problem because now, you know, a lot of the older structures, you know, even up north, you know, people just kind of did what they wanted to do. And now investors and things are buying them and want to fix them up. And it's like, well, you can't fix them up until you get, you know, what's done permitted. And so, you know, we're working on trying to get the county manager to work with the board to be able to subcontract perhaps. And it wouldn't be gifting because it's available to everybody that needs it. Do you know?
Well, there should be something in place for the transfer of homes, because otherwise who would want to buy a home when they don't know if they're in harm's way or not?
Right. Yeah. People do need to really get with planning and zoning or somebody when they're going to purchase a property, because a lot of times they purchase a property with a lot of these ideas of what they're going to do with it and how they're going to, and then they find out they're in a floodway or that, you know, there's a property dispute. So, you know, until that's squared away, they can't do anything. So we're seeing problems that came about years ago, but just haven't had any light shown on them
right
until recently. And so, you know, that's something that we're trying to work with to help people. Cause, you know, when you're working with infrastructure, the last thing you want to do is tell somebody, well, you can't, you know, it's like, let's try to figure this out somehow. Let's see how we can, you know, meet in the middle and get something better to help.
Is there a way for a potential buyer to go to permitting to find out whether the structure they're thinking about buying is in fact permitted properly?
You know, they can go to check and see what permits were on that property. Yes.
Okay.
And if, you know, if they did a little plot map, you know, like I've got a shed here, I've got a well house here, here's my house, and, you know, here's the distance to the property line.
Right.
You know, like a little deal like that, and went to them and said, does this look, you know, does this look like everything has been permitted? And they said, well, no, that 20 by 24 garage, we have nothing, you know, on record of
right
that type deal, or we didn't know there was a well on the property.
Yeah.
You know, that something like that can be done.
Well, interesting. I assume if they buy it and do not make any changes, that whatever's going on, they can live with.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, like you mentioned, the shed out back. So there's a shed out back that was never permitted. It's been there for 40 years. They're not planning to make any changes. I assume they're not in harm's way if they buy the property.
Well, no, but now it's known. So if they go to sell the property, it could be an issue.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't when they purchased it, but now it has become. I mean, one person, you know, had bought a house and they were fine for a couple of years. Then they wanted solar, and so the solar company wanted to put the solar on the shed roof. And they said, okay. And went to the county and got a permit and says, well, you can't put it on a shed roof because there's not a shed there.
Exactly. That's just what you were saying. It's like, oh, brother. All right.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, no, here goes this big old can of worms. And, you know, we have enough of this that, you know, I'm really trying to work with the county manager on seeing if we can't subcontract. And, you know, I'm sure that it's going to be expensive. Any engineer is expensive. But, you know, maybe we can work something out with something somewhere, because this has become an issue that, you know, if we don't help these people, then they're not going to ever get their property cleared unless they go hire a structural engineer and say, you know, whatever. And the difficult thing is how are you going to get a structural engineer to come and okay your shed that was built 15 years ago?
Well, exactly. So what we're saying, though, if you take it to its conclusion, is this continues for too long, it will be investors beware, and people will not want to buy things in Gila County.
Correct.
And there's your problem.
That's my take on it. That's why I'm trying to help these people whom already have invested and are extremely frustrated.
Sure they are.
We have people that the entire home never had an inspection or a permit.
I believe
somebody built an entire home. So, you know, we have enough of this that, you know, if we're going to continue to go and grow, then, you know, that's something that we want to look at. And I'm looking into the future as well, because Tri-City is breaking ground on, I believe, the 30th.
Yeah, phase one,
of their plant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to hopefully be looking at some interior infrastructure,
right,
you know, in the near future. And so, you know, all of this is going to come in to play, and you know, some of these structures can be saved, some of them will have to be demoed, but you know, I'm trying to help the past to get us a better path to the future. And
yeah.
Is it worth a few tax dollars spent? It is, in my opinion, you know, because you need people coming here. You need a little bit of growth to keep from going backwards.
Oh, absolutely. And the word would spread fast if this becomes a large problem for an investor. Again, there needs to be a mechanism where the investor can know that what he's buying is appropriate. Just like you do a title search, there should be something that does a permit search.
Or problems thereof going in.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. And let's face it, we all know properties in the Globe, Miami area. I saw one where literally every bit of the electric came in on 120 breaker. Just one, the whole house.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's no electrician who's been involved in this. And you see that kind of stuff where you shake your head. And some of the structures that are older did not have indoor plumbing initially. And some of the fixes for that are fascinating to look at. You know, so there are a lot of things.
There is. And, you know, I mean, even now with Tri-City starting, God bless them, I think it's going to be a great thing, because there's homes with two or three cesspools in the yard now.
Oh, I know.
You know, so it's but you know, we're working on that. You know, we really are. We're working. Another bill that's down in Phoenix is to help get rid of cesspools with, you know, forgivable loans for replacing cesspools with septic tanks. We're working on a project right now, like out in Wheatfields. But if the bill passes, it will be countywide that we can help with that, providing that people do. The problem, like in some of the places in Central Heights and Claypool and things, is they don't have room for a tank and a leach line on these small lots.
That's exactly
But that's okay. We'll get Tri-City, and I think that's a great thing. And then if the town of Globe and the town of Miami will work with them, then where City of Globe has annexed properties that they can't service, then perhaps when Tri-City does their plumbing, they can, as well as town of Miami. You know, when they went to Walmart and stuff, they passed up all those houses and things. And so perhaps, you know, they can help them get a sewer as well, which would really benefit, you know, our infrastructure, our interior infrastructure.
This is going to become a huge problem if it's not addressed at some point. It could stop growth cold. And unfortunately, many people are just thinking about, well, I'm all right. No one's bothering me. Well, that's today. Try to sell that property.
I guess as being a contractor for 27 years, I'm always looking at tomorrow, not yesterday or not today. You know, so sometimes I lose today because I'm trying to think 3 days ahead. You know,
a community can't grow without thinking about these things. And these things that are a little problem become a huge problem, just like we've talked about the mitigation for floods and all that and the need for a different map. You can't ignore these things long term because they will, at some point, literally stop growth in its tracks. And that will not be good.
Sure. Like the fairgrounds, you know, a few years ago, we could not have a high school rodeo there because we didn't have two arenas. So, you know, build it, they'll come. And we did, and they did. So, you know, I kind of feel that way with Tri-City and other things. If, you know, as we go forward and work together, we can make a better sustainable community for everybody.
I agree. I want to circle back to Miami, what you found out at the town council where they're putting together that advisory committee. Now, one of the things you mentioned was for professional people maybe who have left to come back. Is there going to be a move to get people to return?
I guess that's always kind of been there. And, you know, it seems to me that a certain amount of them or something have to be residents. Like I said, I don't know all the bylaws because they're just working on doing that now.
Yeah, because one of the problems is we have a certain amount of brain drain. Young people graduate from high school, maybe go to college, don't come back at any point. That increasingly will be a problem if that's not addressed as well.
Right, but like Mayor Madrid, you know, he was an engineer and he was gone for years.
Right.
And, you know, his profession was he was an engineer. And now he's back and he's mayor. And he's very interested in helping, you know, Miami.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the council's kind of thrown in with him. And so they're reaching for, you know, more professional people.
Good.
And local people with a lot of interest in, okay, let's get an advisory committee. Let's get a plan. Let's start seeing what we can do and what it's going to take to do it.
Good.
And so, like I say, that's you know they're just starting that, but I think it'll be a good thing as it goes forward.
Agreed.
And you can look at the gloom and doom, but you know we can always reach and try to make it better. And that's one thing I'm going to bring up. I asked for a work session, and nobody is asking for higher taxes. Nobody wants higher taxes. Everybody's paying too much taxes, too much at the grocery store, too much for gas. Believe me, I know that. But I ask for a work session or here in the near future because we do have a flood district.
Right.
You know, on the books, but we have no money in it. I think we allocate like $250,000 from the county to it a year, but that does nothing. And so what I asked for is a work session on, okay, I would like to know, okay, what would it cost an individual home owner in taxes, you know, if it was, you know, 5 cents per hundred of assessed value, what would that do for Gila County? And what would that put into flood, you know, flood deal so that we can do some of this preventative, you know, instead of, oh, we got an emergency. We got to ask the federal government or the state for money. You know, what if we did our own and, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe we could clean out the creeks every year with that funding, which would go a long way to prevent flooding.
Yeah, we talked about this before, and I was stunned we didn't have one. I wonder how many people here even realize that there's nothing on the books for this.
Yeah, no, we have one. We just have no funds for it or no funds going into it other than what we do as the Board of Supervisors put like $250,000 in it a year, but that's that's not going to help us the next time it floods.
No.
Well, you know, like I say, if we had a fund, and to me, I work for the people. If the people think it's a great idea, I'm all for it. But I can bring it up, and if they say, you're crazy, you're losing your mind, we're not, okay, that's fine. I understand that as well. But there again, with that forward thinking, if everybody gave just a little bit, maybe these floods would not get as bad. Maybe we could, you know, do a flow dam up the creek where it holds water and only releases so much at a time. You know, that maybe. But, you know, we'll see where that goes. But that's something I want to talk about with the entire board, county manager, and finance, just to get some real numbers. You know,
yeah.
Okay, they know, you know, what's going on with how many people and how many houses and all that kind of stuff. Okay, if everybody paid, you know, I don't know, 5 cents a hundred, what would that do? Is that...
Well, and what would it do in savings is another factor, too. We mentioned about insurance companies and how they rate and all that. So there's a number of things that come into play. But what you're asking for at this point is information, and knowledge is power. Right now, we're acting blindly. So I can't see how anybody will turn you down to at least research this to find out what it'll cost. I think we just lost Tim. All of a sudden, Tim has, his cell phone has faded out on us. I probably ran his battery down. So I will check back with him, and if there's an addendum to this meeting, I will add it. Otherwise, we will do this again next month. This will replay on KJAA on Sunday, and of course be on KQSS in perpetuity. KQSS.net.
Can you hear me now?
Perfectly.
Perfect. I was in a building, and I'm in the Central Heights building just down the road.
Yeah.
And I walked outside.
Oh, geez. Jeez. Man, I'll tell you, it's not an information superhighway. It's a dirt road. But yeah, this is perfect. So, was there anything you wanted to add?
No, Raleigh, other than that's just kind of what's going on with this week, you know, and the things that are rolling, the meetings that I've had, and kind of what's on my mind for going forward and things that are happening.
Oh, it sounds great.
And I wanted to add that if anybody would like to ever reach out to me with any input, my number is 928-961-2885.
That's great. And of course, we've got that on KQSS.net. And I've also told Big John, in preparation for the next meeting, because a lot of people don't want to be on the radio for whatever reason, but they're interested, if they'll email us at radio@KQSS.net, radio@KQSS.net, we will talk about it on the upcoming meeting.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, that will be fine. And I appreciate you very much. And you know, the information that you help our community with, as well as the music that everybody enjoys.
Well, it's our pleasure, Tim. Look forward to talking to you next month.